Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia
And
Hilke,
I'm Jason Hilke.
and we are delighted today to have Barbie Jimenez with us. Barbie is a parenting coach, mom of two young adults, educator, and facilitator dedicated to helping parents shift from control to connection. When traditional discipline methods strained her relationship with her own children, she sought a new approach, trained with Dr. Shefali, and became a certified conscious parenting coach. Barbie integrates compassionate inquiry, polyvagal theory, trauma-informed practices, mindfulness, emotional regulation, and relationship building into her coaching workshops and support groups. Welcome, Barbie. It's great to have
Good
you.
to have you here, Barbie.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you all.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to you.
I wanted to first ask you about the shift that happened in your own parenting, because I think there's probably a lot of people in the audience that can relate to making a shift,
Or
and
wanting to make a shift.
wanting to, and I would love to hear a little bit about your own story.
Yes. So it's interesting because listening to you read that bio, I'm thinking to myself, wow, that sounds like somebody that's got it all together. And, as I'm sure you all know, as parents of young adults, we're still a work in progress, right? And so, yeah, I probably believed I should have had it all together as a kindergarten preschool teacher, right? That you all can relate to for many years before having my own children, being able to be in charge of 25, 30 kindergartners on my own, right? Actually preferring that the parents weren't there, right? And then had my own two, and I was a mess. It's a completely different game, right? And yeah, I yelled a lot. I couldn't keep myself together for the entire day. And so very often I was either found myself yelling, saying no to things that I really hadn't even taken a pause to think about what I really felt before, answering, and just really trying to control. And that put a strain, of course, as you can imagine, on my relationship with my kids. And with my daughter, who's the eldest, it was more like she kind of internalized it and would shut down. With my son, who came along later, a couple years later, around this time he was 7 to 9, I can't remember exact. I remember he yelled back at me once to stop trying to control him. And I always say something happened, like the heavens opened, because I didn't go into my regular MO, which would have been to, how can you talk to me like that? That's so disrespectful, blah, 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 right? But something said, listen. And I was able to pause long enough to actually reflect. And I get emotional because that's when I realized it wasn't about them. It was my stuff. It was my need for control. And so, out of that desperation of not knowing what else to do, going to sleep, feeling guilty for yelling yet again and losing it yet again, even though I had promised myself tomorrow would be different and I'd be able to get through the day. I discovered Dr. Shefali's work and took every single course I could get my hands on, read every single book I could. And that's eventually what led me to become a coach and join her first cohort. But more importantly than that is what helped me to understand where my control was coming from, my need for control, and how to attain the skills to be able to begin to calm that within myself. So then I could actually, like I like to say, stop projecting and vomiting my feelings all over my kids, right? And really self-contain.
Yeah.
And that just created more safety. in the home and with my kids. And so they started to realize, oh, she's kind of, at first it was a little crazy, I'm not gonna lie, because it's definitely a journey and a process, and it takes time. And so I remember that at first I'd be yelling, and I'd have like this out of body experience saying, stop yelling, stop yelling. And I could hear like, stop yelling, but I couldn't do it. Eventually, with more meditation, inner growth, awareness, you know, building that muscle of pause that I talk about in my chapter, eventually I was able to stop. But it happened like mid-sentence. All my kids were like, oh, now she's really crazy. And now I, you know, there's definitely never ever perfection, but now I can, I would say 99% of the time, 98% of the time, I could catch myself, right, when I'm walking down the hallway with this kind of energy. I'm like, oh wait, yeah, that's not going to be helpful. Let me just pause. Let me see what's going on in here. What am I believing? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? And what's the message I really want to give my kiddos here? And how can I do that in a calm way? So it's definitely a process.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for sharing that. I think there's a lot of people that can relate to, at least I can relate to much of what you've described there. And appreciate you sharing that, and especially you sharing it vulnerably there for us.
Yeah, and I can imagine there are people that are listening and they're like, yeah, I'm trying to do that, but I want my kid to be safe, or my kid is being rude to me, or like whatever else, or I need to teach them because they don't know not to hit. And there's all those messages, or maybe I'm embarrassed and I'm afraid that I'm going to be judged by whoever else is in the grocery store, or at the line at pickup at the school, if I don't address like that behavior that my child just did. So, and this is like an impossible question because I gave you like four different scenarios. So anyway, good luck. Now, how do you start changing that addressing that dialogue, and also seeing like how do we support our kids in those moments?
Yeah, it, you know, yeah, thanks. Because I could answer that question for like a week. But I'll try to chip away at some aspects of it. So, yeah, and all of that is so pertinent. Like, it's part of the process. So, we definitely, I think, when we take on this journey of trying to parent differently than what culture and our parents, you know, most of our parents probably did, and not by any fault to them. They did the best they could with the information they had back then, right? But we know now more how the brain works, how the nervous system works. There's so many different things that we know now. But you end up kind of being the black sheep of the family, right? Because people are going, especially family, are going to be like, well, don't you think you should put a stop to that behavior? Or, right, like you're kind of getting them, letting them get away with that. So you definitely have to deal with that. You definitely have to deal with how you feel about people in public watching you, right? But I think those two kind of also go together, because I truly believe this journey of parenting has more to do with us reparenting ourselves than anything to do with our kids. Right. And so being able to withstand, being able to manage, handle those little comments or the eyes being looking at us, that's part of becoming an adult. Right. That's part of reparenting ourselves and helping that little inner child that still lives inside each and every one of us to feel safe in those situations. And that is the journey. If we're not connecting to that part of ourselves that's still hearing, that's not safe, don't do that, then we're never going to feel safe. And we'll continue to, as I said, project and vomit all over everybody else because it has to come from inside. I truly believe safety is an inside job. And it doesn't have much to do actually with what's going on the outside, but what's going on in here? What am I believing in this situation? What is it bringing up for me, right? Because if as a child, I learned it wasn't safe to speak up. It wasn't safe to stand out, right? Most of us did because we were told to be quiet, don't take up so much space in different ways, right? Be the good girl, don't cause trouble. So now our nervous system, we're alive. It kept, right? The inner child kept us alive. Those coping mechanisms we created to stay safe worked. The problem is our inner child doesn't know that we're now an adult. And it's still trying to keep us safe. So now it's us stepping into that role of saying, wait, I am the adult now. No one is coming to rescue me anymore. No one is coming to, we have to let our parents off, give up, off the hook. No one is responsible for that anymore. I am. And when I can take that responsibility back, and I love to define the word respond, break down the word responsibility as the ability to respond. If we're reacting out of a past wound, right? Because our inner child is saying, you're not safe, stop. Then we're not being responsible. We're reacting. And so, really taking the time to pause and reflect and think, wait, what am I believing in this situation? What is my mind telling me in this situation about myself, about the other person, and about the situation? What am I believing? And is it helpful? Because most of the time, it's not. It's that coping mechanism from when we were a child that's still trying to keep us safe.
I hear a lot of what you're saying there is that it's stuff that we can do for ourselves. And the work that we do on ourselves helps us as a parent, and we parent differently. The nice thing is that we kind of have a lot of control over what we can do about ourselves, right? Like that's a, something we can have an effect on and we can work on. In your chapter, you talk about a pause and a reframe framework, I think it is. Could you say a little bit more about that and how an individual can be using that?
Okay, yes. So I'm sure you could, I don't, well, I think that maybe you, as you guys having had been in the classroom, could relate to this. I'm not sure where I picked this up. If it was in my training as an educator or conditioning as a parent, I'm not sure. But I had this idea that you had to take care of things right away. You had to, stop that behavior right away, because if you didn't, then you were giving the message that it was okay for it to continue. And man, did that come to bite me, you know where? Because when you try to act in the moment like that and you're triggered by something, nothing you say or do is going to help you, right? You're definitely reacting and not responding, right? So what I had to learn to do was just stop trying to take care of everything in the moment right away, unless obviously it's a safety issue, right? But literally, I had to learn to stop, do nothing, and just pause. Luckily, my kids didn't push back too much when I was in that stage. But I had to just take time to really sit with what's happening here. What am I feeling? Why am I feeling the need to react, to control, to, right? And like you said, Jason, I know a lot of us as parents sometimes feel the burden and the weight on our shoulders when we hear that it's up to us and that we're the model and that it's about our reflection of our inner work and growth and all that. But like you said, the only person we can control is ourselves. So that really gives us all the power, because it's about working on ourselves. And instead of focusing everything on the outside, No, conscious parenting is about looking on the outside while we're looking on the inside, right? And so the first step is, yes, building that pause. And that might look like stopping, doing nothing, taking a breath, saying, okay, let me calm my nervous system down here before I even, because we can't, as you all know, you can't even think, right? You can't access any thoughts when our nervous system is activated. So that's that first step of pause, so that we can literally, technically become aware of what's happening. Then the next step would be asking ourselves, what's going on here for me and for my child? Right. So we may not have time in that moment to say what to go down the rabbit hole of what's going on for me. So I like to say, okay, reflect on that later. But ask ourselves, what is my child trying to tell me here? What are they trying to communicate to me with their behavior? Right. Coming from my background, it was always like, oh, they're being disrespectful. Or, right, I would hear that little voice from my elders, right? You're going to let them get away with that? They can't speak to you that way, right? So becoming aware of that, but recognizing that, I always say, kids and all humans, really, we're always looking for, one of three things. And under our behaviors, and that goes for all of us, because I still see this in myself, and I'm not going to age myself, but under our behaviors, we're either looking for connection, or we need to learn a skill, whether it's a social emotional skill, self-regulation skill, right? There's a skill that we need to learn. Or sometimes a limit is needed, a boundary. But the trick is to set those boundaries and limits with compassion instead of control. And so that's what I try to help parents do, and that's what I try to do is think, okay, what is this situation asking of me right now? And always, and I purposely leave limit last, because we usually go to that one first, right? And every human being is asking for presence, especially our children. That's what they want more than anything in the world, is our presence, our connection. So see how you can do that first and see what happens. And then ask yourself, is there a skill here? You mentioned in your question earlier about Cecilia, about like teaching them not to hit, right? Or you mentioned something like that, like teaching them what are the skills that they need, right? And I often say, unless we're walking around modeling hitting, yelling, which I was, but and things like that, then our kids know. They know that that is not appropriate, typical behavior, right? They know that. And so my next question is, well, if they know that, what is stopping them from holding back, right? And so what would stop us as a human being, or what would cause us as a human being to get to the point of hitting someone? It
Yeah.
would take a lot, right? And I get it. We have a fully developed brain, fully developed nervous system. They don't when they're little. And I even say little hesitantly, because now we know, right? 28 years old is more or less when the brain is fully developed. So even us with a fully developed brain and fully developed nervous system could struggle at times with that. Obviously, we have more self-restraint, but what must be going on in their little bodies when they behave that way? Right? And so it's not about teaching them not to hit. It's about trying to understand why they felt the need to hit, and helping them with that. That's the skill, not the hitting.
Yeah.
I keep on nodding and smiling because I'm like, yes,
Yeah. And it
exactly.
reminds me so much when I was in the classroom, actually when I was just learning, I was training, the director gave me a clipboard and paper and said, just write down what you see going on and what do you think they're thinking about? And that taught me this skill that of one, really being clear on observation, right? But also that thing about being curious, like you were just describing, like, why is it that they're doing that? Why are they doing these actions? Why are they responding that? Well, it really caused me to get outside of my own ideas and be over there. Now, obviously, as a parent, we can't sit around with a clipboard and be able to do that. But
I don't know, maybe that would be a good thing for us to do.
it did make me aware of how much I wanted to control, how much I had my own ideas about what was going on, and how I was not being curious about what was going on for them. Very much like what you were just describing. And so whether they were playing and I was, being curious about like, why are they deciding to stick a hose in the sand and seeing the water bubble up? Or why are they grabbing each other and pulling each other over like that? Like it was a really nice exercise for me. So I can relate to that. And it was really challenging to translate that to home. So I just wanted to tie that back to what you said at the very beginning of like, yeah, when it's someone else's kids, it's not as triggering. When it's in a more defined kind of environment with other support, it's different than at home. And so it was a real challenge for me to translate a lot of that into the home life.
Yeah, and something comes up for me when I hear you saying that, and I'm gonna pose this as a question to you all. Let me see what you all think. Do you think that when you're triggered, right, or in a reactive state, that you can access curiosity?
Yeah, no, that's where it's really that's the thing that I recognize for myself. And that's that pause. That's why I was so curious about what you were talking about with the pause. It's like really taking that pause to be able to get into the thinking part of our brain so that we can be curious.
Right, because we can't be curious, right? And that's really what this calls for, is that curiosity. And you can't do that if you're triggered, if you're in a reactive state. And then going back also to the difference between other people's children and our children, we're our culture just, I don't know where it started, but we just have this real strong belief that the way our children behave, the way their life works out, has everything to do with us as their parents.
Right. Yeah.
And gosh, that couldn't be farther from the truth, right? We do the best we can because we adore them, but they're here on their own journey. And man, having young adults really makes you, as I'm sure you could relate, I consistently have to remind myself of that. Right, of the fact that I'm not privy to what their journey is. I have no idea, and I'm not supposed to, because it's not mine.
Yeah.
And
Yep.
just like I believe I have my own inner guidance, they do too, and it's not me.
Yeah.
Right?
It
How egocentric.
was a challenge for me to get to the point where I stopped trying to control them, even when they were young. Like I would, stop treating them like they're my project and trying to control that project and starting to give over and let go more and more. And as they've gotten older, that becomes even more evident. But yeah, the whole idea of control is really challenging for me as I have grown and developed as a person, but also as a parent.
It's scary. It's
Yeah.
scary. Sometimes I have to tell them, okay, I know this is me trying to control. Like I preface it, like, I just need to know I said this out loud, but don't internalize it. Don't take, like, just ignore me. But I just need to know that I said this. Okay. Can you just give me that space to communicate that? And they're like, what is it? And they're like, I know it'll usually be like some safety thing, or like, remember, if you're going out and you're gonna drink, like, I will come pick you up wherever you are, whatever time it is, like, or call an Uber, but don't get in the car, right? They're like, yes, I know. Okay, I know you know.
Being a
But yeah.
parent, doing my parenting duty here.
Yeah, for sure. Gosh. Oh, I have so many questions. So I'll ask this one. Especially for the person who this is newer to them. Do you have advice for what they can do during the pause?
So here's what I recommend. Because if you're anything like I was, I had no idea what would even work for me. I was so disconnected from myself, right? Start to create a list. Some of your typical things. Use the senses, right? So movement, but every nervous system is different. So some people like movement, some people like stillness. Some people like music. Some people like silence. Some people do better with breathing. Some people might hum and act, use the poly, it works with the polyvagal, with the vagus nerve and all that. But so start to create a list and then post it somewhere where you're going to see it, because when you are triggered, remember, the brain is offline, like Dr. Dan Siegel says, right? Your lid has flipped, and so you may not be able to access it. So keep it handy, and then just start practicing for a few minutes, and then note, oh, that one worked. That one helped me to kind of settle down. Cross off the ones that were like, that didn't make much of a difference for me. And then you have a toolkit of three or four things that you can start to put into place, right? Some people like to splash water on their face. I've heard some people like to eat ice, right? But you're just trying to get your nervous system calm. And I can't say do this and it equals this, because everybody is different. Every body, right, may be different. So those are a few things people can start to do. Get used to sitting in silence. Become aware, like really, you were saying the clipboard, like even having that clipboard for ourselves. You know what I noticed? It's so funny because I saw an Instagram reel this week about this. I was like, oh, it's not just me. I noticed whenever I got triggered, I was running to the kitchen and wiping down my kitchen counters, even though they were clean. But I was furiously like, ah. And then I realized, oh, okay, because I can control that. Right. And that's what we're looking for, is that sense of something we can control. So just become aware of what are the behaviors that maybe you're doing in response, right? In reaction to whatever's happening. And you don't necessarily have to get rid of them. Just having that awareness will help you. I don't know. Did that answer your
Yeah,
question?
totally.
Yeah. And it's
Absolutely.
like
Love
a
it.
muscle. I wish I could go to the gym and do bicep curls once and I would have the most amazing arms for the rest of my life, but it just doesn't work that way. And the pause muscle's the same way. You've got to work at it.
Yeah. As
By
for,
the way, I'm a kitchen cleaner as well. I've
yeah.
noticed when I'm like stressed or I need some control, I'm like, I'll clean the kitchen. I have control over
Yeah.
that.
I call it rage cleaning for myself when I am mad and I start cleaning stuff. Anyway, so yeah, totally relate. As we're wrapping up, I wanted to ask you about one last thing. What advice do you have for somebody who's like, okay, I know what to do now, and I'm going to create a plan for the pause, and I'm going to do more pausing and less yelling, but feels guilty that
Yeah.
they know that they're going to mess up in the future. They know that they've messed up a ton in the past. Maybe even they think that they've damaged their kid. What is your message for that person?
Yeah, I could so relate. And thank you, Cecilia, for bringing that up, because I would feel horrible if we left at this, close this conversation and parents walked away feeling guilty. Well, first, find solace in the fact that I've done all this work and I still lose it at times. Okay. So we're all in it together. We're all in this process of becoming. I always say if we can do it just a fraction with more awareness than the past generations, we've done our job. Okay. But I also say we always have the repair. And so the repair is an opportunity for us to take responsibility. So what is a repair? You've lost it. You know, maybe mid-sentence, like I did, you stopped and composed yourself and that went and took the pause and, you know, sat with, okay, what is my child needing here? More connection, another, you know, a skill or a compassionate limit. You've done that. But you still are like, oh, I definitely could have handled that better. So once you have reflected, once your nervous system is back online and settled and calm, and this could be a day or two after, doesn't have to even be the same day. You go to your child and you say something like, use your words so it's authentic, okay? But something similar to, you know, the other day when XYZ happened, really am a little bit bummed at the way I responded, the way I reacted, the way I showed up. I wish I could have a do-over because I got so triggered that my emotions just took over. And that's not how I wanted to handle that. And it had nothing to do with you. That was my stuff. Because especially young children and even teenagers will think it's their fault. So it's very important we say that instead of, but if you wouldn't have done, now we negated the whole thing. Like you might as well not have even tried to repair. So if you catch yourself, you know, just it's, and it had nothing to do with you. That's the responsibility. Right? And I'm working on it.
That's great.
And yeah.
I love it.
Let them off the hook, like let them know. And it has nothing to do with them. It's our stuff.
It also takes the pressure off us as parents that we can make mistakes and we can model for our kids what to do when that happens because none of us are perfect.
And
And
they don't have to be perfect either.
they don't have to. Yep, we won't
Exactly.
make
Can
it.
you imagine what the world would be like if everybody was walking around saying, taking responsibility in that way and saying, you know, going back to the grocery store and telling the clerk, I'm so sorry I was mean to you yesterday. It had nothing to do with you. I was having a bad day.
Be a different
Be a
world.
better world, yeah.
Yeah, so we
Barbie,
could definitely start modeling that.
I love that. Barbie, do you have any final words or anything you'd like to leave this conversation with?
You know, so many of us begin this work thinking it's for our children, right? And they bring us to this work, sometimes like me kicking and screaming. But the reality is, it's a much more rich life when you do this work and you have the ability to have awareness and to show up more consciously, more aware of what you're bringing to the table. And we just get so, what's the word I'm looking for? We're less prickly when we go out into the world because we realize, you know, I often say every person is living their own movie. And we often think that everybody else is in our movie and they should have our script, but they don't. They're all living in their own movie and are assuming that, you know, we should have their script. And so if we could just remember that everyone's doing the best they can, They're really caught up in their own movie, and it has not much to do with us. And if we could stay in our little movie and yet show up in a way that is understanding to other people and what they're going through, but without internalizing it and making it about us. I don't know if that made any sense, but yeah. I think that that awareness, just knowing that our kids are here, they're whole human beings. They have everything that they need inside of them, just like we do. And yes, we're here to guide and support them, but trusting that they have what they need also within them,
Love
as
that.
we do.
I love that. It's great for us to have that as a reminder, especially when we think that we need to fill our kids up and teach them where really we can just be role models for them and let them also be who they are. You have a lot of information available for parents and guidance for parents online. How could people find out more about that and more about you?
So you can definitely go to my website, barbiejimenez.com, and notice in my little slide there that, or my little square, that my name is Barbie with a Y. And I believe that you all will drop a link with this recording, right? For where they can go and access a free gift. That we've talked about so many things today and so many layers. So the free gift, if you join, will take you through this one step at a time. It's a weekly email you'll receive with practical steps to practice that week, and hopefully embody this journey. And there's no perfection to this. We're all becoming until the day we die.
Thanks, Barbie. Thanks. We'll include the link in the speaker
Thank
notes.
you.
And thank you for spending the time with us all here. Thanks for your guidance. Thanks for who you are for your kids as well as for other parents. And it's been a fantastic conversation with you. Look forward to talking to you again in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And right back at you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.